ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
God bless you. Thank you for joining in our beautiful exchange service tonight. We trust that you have a wonderful day. And then we're just here in this studio to just bring God's word to you tonight. We will be addressing the topic, effective prayer conversation. A lot of the times, people wonder why they don't get answer to their prayers. And by God's wisdom tonight, I just share about four things. And I believe that these four things will transform your prayer life. Everybody wants their prayers to be answered. Everybody wants to call on God. And according to his word, he said, when we call upon him, he said he will answer. So God answers prayer. And I believe and trust God tonight that as we share this time in his word, illumination will come, the heart of our understanding will be flooded with light, and we will see things from a different perspective. Open your Bibles, if you will, tonight to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. If you have engaged in prayer, maybe intercession, standing in God, prayer of thanksgiving, you probably have heard this verse quoted over and over again. Most times when we have prayer meetings, we usually end our prayer meetings with this. There is a kind of confidence that comes in the place of prayer. So verse 14 and 15, 1 John 5, it said, now this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, who have asked us to ask, and it shall be given. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So God hears us. But you know, there is a caveat in that place. He said, there is a confidence that comes that when we ask anything according to his will, his word is his will. So when we ask according to his word, when we ask without wavering, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. So we have to have that confidence that he hears us. And that confidence that we know that he hears us. And that confidence is what actually brings us to a place of getting answers to our prayers. So prayer conversation is a divine privilege that every child of God has with the Father. Prayer conversations. And thank God for that spiritual truth. I mean, wherever you are, whether you are traveling on the road, whether you are walking, whether you are traveling in the air, whether you are traveling on the sea, God expects us to live our lives in union, in fellowship with him. What we have as a relationship with our God, as our walk with our God, is koinonia. It's called fellowship. It is called intermingling of spirit. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible referred to God the Father as the Father of spirit. So God hears us. Prayer conversation is one of those divine privileges. You can keep your mouth shut and you are still communing with God. You can run and take a walk, take a jog, and you are still communing with your Father. Why? The Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinity, lives on the inside of you. That is the divine signature upon your life. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Trinity in the person of the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it said, "The spirit of man is the candor of the Lord." So God revealed himself to us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that conversation is what is called prayer. That communication is what we call prayer. That fellowship is what is called prayer. So learning how to pray effectively to get results is one of the spiritual virtues any believer can cultivate in their personal walk with God. Learning how to pray, learning how to commune with your Father, learning how to fellowship with Him, learning that God desires fellowship with us, and coming into that place where we don't see God as one who is just far away. We see Him as one who is near. We see Him as a personal confidant. We see Him as a friend. We see Him as the standby. We see Him as our advocate. And that's the ministry that the Holy Spirit represents in our personal walk with Abba Father. The truth is, any believer may not be able to do much when they don't understand the place of their personal conversation with God. We literally pray out the plan, the purposes, the pursuits of God for our lives. The Bible talks about something in Jeremiah 29:11. God speaking there, he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says God." He said, "Thought of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a hope and a future." God has a plan for our lives. And verses 12 and 13 of Jeremiah 29:11, gives us how we can access this plan. He said, "You will go and ask me." You can pray. So prayer conversation is that divine privilege that we have. And we need to engage it, because we live in a world where is a spiritual war. There is opposition from the devil. And we need to know how to live victoriously above the schemes and caprices of the devil. So we need to know how to pray in accordance with biblical principles, so that we can strengthen our fellowship and so that we can wage a good warfare in the world that we live in. So the believer's prayer life should be based, according to our text, should be based and built on the word of God. He said, when we pray according to his will. So his word is his will. And so faith begins where that will is known. We know what we can believe God for. And then we stand in the place of conversation, literally reminding him of his promises, which are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus. So practicing this presence, I call it practicing the presence of God. There are aspects of prayer. Worship is one of it. And we had an exciting time, even tonight. It just connects our spirit with the source of life, with Abba Father. That's one of the things. Worship is actually another form of prayer. So when we understand this, then we know how to strengthen our supernatural faith walk. We can receive answers to prayer. That's just the message tonight. You can receive answers to your prayers. A lot of people have not received answers to their prayers. And so sometimes they are discouraged. They have questions. They ask questions like, does God indeed answer prayer? They have needs in their life. Some needs are personal to people. Some need maybe their family needs, their career need, their business need, even their work, their spiritual needs. And so sometimes when we put up petitions and we seem not to receive answer to those petitions, we tend to think, as human beings, we tend to think that maybe God doesn't answer prayer, or maybe the distance between heaven and the heart is so long that we don't think that our spiritual signal is strong enough to connect to God's universal signal. But tonight, I just want to be able, by God's grace, show us practical steps to effective prayer conversation. Everyone should desire to see their prayer answered. And there is just something that does to your faith. It strengthens your faith. It strengthens your confidence in God. It strengthens your walk with God. You can only come to that, you can come to that place where you begin to get answers to your prayer, and then you begin to stand in God for other people, stand in God for your nation, stand in God for your community, and you see the same principle just playing out to be at work. So number one steps that I want to encourage you to begin to practice. If every one of us should just desire it. I desire that each of my prayer should be answered. I desire that, I should have a prayer journal that I make petition, and then, God answers, and I just stick it out and I make new petition. Not just for myself, but for my friends, for my colleagues, for my neighbors, for my community, for my nation. And we see that God is interested in changing our world. Number one practical step, number one, is be specific. If you want an effective prayer conversation with God, be specific and stand on His promises. Be specific. Be specific. Decide what you want from God and find scripture or scriptures which cover that area of need. You need a spouse. You're of a marriageable age. There are scriptures. So be specific. Just ask. You meet people, you ask them that, what are you praying about? They just say they don't know. Or some people will say, I'm just praying that God should intervene. Intervene in what? In which area of life? Someone has issues or challenges with their health. Be specific. There are scriptures that covers area of health. Someone have issues with their finances. You have to be specific, because the Bible says every promise of God, they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So on God's part, or in God's part, in God's book, all things are ours in Christ Jesus. But God expects us to ask. He said, ask, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, you shall receive. He said, seek, you will find. He said, knock, the door shall be opened. Verse 8 says, for everyone who asks will receive. So we have to ask. So for you to have an effective prayer conversation, you have to be specific. You have to be specific and then stand on God's promises. So you are specific with it. What is the area of need that you have? A lot of the time people rush into prayers. But we need to play according to the rules. There are rules that guide or guard football, as it were. In other places they call it soccer. In other places, what they call football is handball in other places. And there are different rules that guide and guard different games. And we must, if we want to win in any of those games, naturally, you must play according to the rules. When it comes to football, you don't pick it with your hands and go and say you want to go and score. No, that becomes a foul. The same thing in spiritual balance, in spiritual realm. There are rules that guide prayer. Where we read as our text, is it when we ask anything according to His will. So that means outside His will, He's not committed to answer. Somebody is trusting for a spouse.
You're trusting for a spouse. So, what is am I trusting for? Is it within God's word? Isaiah 34, 17, 16, 17 talks about it. If you are trusting for a spouse, it says, yeah, it says, search the book of the law. It says, no one will lack his or her mate. He said, his spirit has called them, he has gathered them. So when you know that, I mean, God gives, God leads people and leads you into a place where you can have a man after his own heart or a woman after his own heart. So it is settled. It gives you that kind of confidence that when you ask according to his will, he hears you. So you find scripture or scriptures which cover you. When you come to the place of prayer, you can't afford to be indefinite. You can't afford to say, whatever we be, we be. It doesn't work that way. You can't even afford to say, let me pray for hours. It's good to pray for hours. But I will rather want you to pray for 2 or 3 minutes and you are praying according in specific terms rather than pray 2-3 hours and it's indefinite. You are just saying God should intervene. God should intervene. Intervene in what? God, come true for me. Come true in what area? In what dimension? So, number one practical guide is that we have to be specific. We can pray generally to have fellowship with God. But when it comes to specific needs in our lives, there must be scriptures that we are praying with. I mean, one of the patriarchs says, I will fill my mouth with argument. Another place, God threw that challenge to Isaiah. He said, comfort with your just reasons. In other words, what the Bible is saying, when we come, that's why I encourage people, don't rush into the place of prayer. Number one, identify the specific need that you have. Number two, try and find out what the word of God says about that need. And it's very easy to do that. Run concordance. What does God say about fruitfulness? Run concordance. What does God's word, if you are trusting, for example, finances, what does God's word say about abundance? Run the concordance. You will understand that when we get to the second step. But we can pray. But when it comes to getting answers, we must be specific. We must be definite with scripture. We must always pray according to the word of God. Many believers who choose to pray must realize about the role and the importance of God's word in our lives. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone. So we can't just leave this natural world the way it is and say, whatever we be, we be. No, we must live by the word of God. We must live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So if you are praying, it must be that you are praying according to the word of God. Can we quickly read Mark chapter 11? Mark chapter 11. It's a very popular scripture. Mark chapter 11. It gives us an insight that God answers prayer, but God also answers prayer in specific terms. In specific terms. Mark chapter 11 from verse 22. Mark 11 from verse 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. In other words, the margin says, have the God kind of faith. I mean, the God kind of faith, we saw it in creation. There was darkness. And then God commanded light to shine. So God was specific. As a matter of fact, if you look at our story, it was as if God wasn't specific initially. So there was chaos. The Holy Spirit was rendered where inactive, not powerless. He's powerful, but inactive at that moment. And there was just moving, just hovering over the surface of the deep. But God had to say something. We will get into that. You must ask God what you want. That's the second point. But here, he said, have the God kind of faith. For surely I say to you, whoever shall say. In that verse, you will find the word say, saying 4 times. whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. The question is, did God know that there is that mountain there? Of course. But you have to say, you have to say, I have said to you, you are God. But if you don't know that you are God, you can live an ordinary life. So in the place of prayer, you must learn to say, I say to you, whoever said to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, verse 24, I said to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So you have to be specific. You have to pray according to the word of God. God's word is his will. Faith begins where that will is known. In Joshua chapter 1, because that's what you do, when you have the scripture that covers your case, you begin to meditate on those scriptures. Joshua 1:8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. He said, when you do that, he said, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amplified says, you will be able to deal wisely with the affairs of this world. So we all need to know how that. So when we come into that place of prayer, we need to have scriptures that covers our case so that we can be successful in getting results. In Psalm 119 verse 11, it says, your word. He was saying, how can a young man keep his way pure? He said, except by giving heed to your commandment. He said, your word I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin. So meditation, when you get scripture that covers the area of your life, you meditate on those scriptures, and what that does for you, it provokes prayer point, and the supply of the Spirit gets you answers to those prayers. So fight the good fight of faith. You have to have the word, because when you are praying, and the devil will come, as we will later understand. So 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight. You can only fight the good fight when you have scripture that covers your case, when you have meditated upon those scripture. Even when doubt seems to come in, you are able to contradict the word of that doubt with the word of God, and you are on your way to get answer to your prayer. The second step is that you must ask God what you want. You must ask God. And this is where a lot of us believers, we also make mistakes. And we quote Matthew 6:32. After all, God knows that I have the need of these things. No, but we have. The exercise of faith demands that you must still ask God. You must ask God. For your inheritance in Christ is settled. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But you will agree with me that maybe most of us have not seen those blessings manifest in the physical. Someone may be believing for healing tonight. Maybe you have not seen it. You see still symptoms all over your body. You are blessed already. Your healing is settled already. But you must also ask. You must take what has been freely given to you. Satan is the god of the system of this world. If we want to fill our hearts with doubt, with fear, with unbelief. So you must ask God what you want. God deals in the specifics. You must. You say, how do I mean? John chapter 16. Let's quickly read something. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. John 16, 23 and 24. He said, and in that day, and this is the day, he said, the day of the New Testament, you will ask me nothing. That's Jesus saying that we will not ask him directly like that. He said, but most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name. So we have the responsibility that we must ask God. Jesus has paid the price, but we must still ask him. We ask the Father in the name of Jesus. He said, whatsoever you ask the Father. You ask in my name. He said, and I do not say to you. Verses, sorry, please. I skipped that. John 16, verses 23 and 24. Yes. And in that day you will ask me nothing. But most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So we have to ask. Until now, you have not asked nothing in my name. When Jesus was around, we read in the scripture, nobody says in the name of Jesus. No, they actually asked God for things at that time. He said, my Father who is in heaven. But Jesus was now giving us, was prophesying into the days of the New Testament that now we must ask the Father in his name. Would you say why? The Bible says all things are ours in Christ Jesus. Healing is ours. Deliverance is ours. Salvation is ours. Prosperity is ours. Health is ours. Abundance is ours. Living a victorious life, it is ours. But we must ask. We must make a demand. That's what the word asking there means. So we must make a demand for whatever we want. We must. Spiritual things are tangible stuffs. They are not like the natural or material things that we can see or feel. So we must learn to make demand. They are there. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They are there in the spirit realm. But through prayer conversation, we can drag them into the physical. So we must. You say, why must we ask? Satan operates as the god of this world, and he constantly plays into, he wants to take us into the arena of doubt, fear, and unbelief. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. So we must ask. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So when we come into the place of prayer, we are specific, we are standing on God's promises, then we ask. We ask whatever we want. And then it takes us to that, because sometimes when people ask and then they leave it for the people say things like, should I be asking every day? No. But you must ask based on the promise of God. You must pray. And once you pray, sometimes you have a release. That release is a mark of peace. You may not see the tangible answers yet, but you just know that God has answered you. So instead of repeated asking, all you just have to do is to keep thanking him. And when you are thanking him, you are thanking him with the word that he has given you that covers your case. Father, I thank you because I am made whole. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thank you because the symptoms are gone. I live in health. I am healthy. I am whole. You just see that the word of God is quickening your mortal body. If it's in the area of financial need, you keep thanking him. For I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you because I am a giver. Thank you because I am generous. My word is a generous one. Thank you because God is able to make all grace abound towards me. So you must ask. And once you have done the first two, it takes us to the next one. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. Guard your mind with the word of God. Guard your mind. The Bible talks about what we need to think about. He said when worry has a tendency to come into our hearts, it can flow into anyone's heart. Sometimes you see people do things like, we pray for Nigeria, for example, where we live. And then the following event is contrary to what we pray for. And the tendency for the devil to want to paint mental picture to us is, maybe Nigeria can't be good, or things can't work in this country. No, guard your mind. Guard your mind from places. If you are trusting God for anything, you've asked in specific time, you have scripture that covers your case, you have God, then guard your mind against fear, against doubt, against unbelief. Those are the tools of the devil. Guard your mind. Even against what people say, so places, people, events that will be contrary to what God has declared. Guard your mind. That is where the warfare is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because there are things that will always come. when you have scriptures, you are specific, you are standing on God's promises, you've asked God what you want, and it's as if the answers are not coming. So there are doubts that will want to start creeping in. So guard your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about this. And that's where the spiritual warfare is. It's not even in the activities of prayer. Some people say, oh, let me pray for this. It's good to pray. I love to pray. Prayer is conversation. As a matter of fact, I may not pray 6-7 hours at a stretch, but I can't go without 1 or 2 minutes without praying. You say, why? I mean, it's as simple as, Lord, I need your help here. Lord, I need you to help me speak the right word. That's prayer. So it's not prayer. It's not just something that you just put at a segment in your day. Prayer is your life. As a matter of fact, I believe the desire of God concerning our lives, for those of us who are believers, is that we become prayer. In other words, every moment of our life, we are constantly dependent on the source. I mean, we have principle of communication. We have telephone companies. But there is what is called base stations. And as long as there is signals from the base station, there is communication. Everybody will have signal on their phones. Everybody will be able to communicate with one another. The same thing. Prayer helps us to keep in touch with the base. You may not maybe engage. It's good to pray for longer hours if you dedicate yourself to it. But I'm saying that hardly, if you really understand how prayer conversation work, I don't think a believer can live 5 minutes without praying. Otherwise, the day will be wobbly. You will just be nauseated. There is what is called in Philippians 1:19, the supply of the Spirit. And I believe every believer needs that. There is what is called in Romans 8:26, the Spirit of God helping our infirmities. That we don't even know. Sometimes the prayer might just not even think that you can articulate with words. So that's where, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's where it comes. So at such time, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. So there is no way you can live your life without depending on God. So guard your mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, like I want us to read, verses 3 to 5 talks about the spiritual warfare. Verses 3 to 5, he said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are not man-made, but they are mighty through God in pulling down strongholds. What are those strongholds? Fear, doubt, unbelief. Are you sure God has promised you? Even if God has promised you, are you good enough to receive these promises? No. The promises of God, they are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus. And we are the one who just align ourselves. And prayer conversation helps us to know what has been truly given to us. And God, the gift is gift and is calling that without repentance. If God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thought of peace and not evil, he doesn't change his mind. God is not a man to change his mind. We need to constantly have that place in our mind that we clear out the doubt. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts against itself, against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And then being ready to punish all disobedience, fear, doubt, unbelief, when our own obedience is fulfilled. So guard your mind. Stay away from places or things. If you trust God for healing, or you're trusting Him for healing, or you're proclaiming the word of healing, stay away from where people share testimony of how many people have died of that same disease. No, he said he was wounded for your transgression. Let that be the warfare. I mean, the way the devil does, if you leave such place, he said, have you heard that people who have those diseases don't live long? I mean, have you heard somebody who says his auntie or his brother died about 6 or 2 weeks ago? It is your turn. That's the way the devil prey on our mind. And that's the imaginations that the Bible says we should cast down, cast out. In Philippians 4:8, when you are when you are specific, you are standing on God's promises, and you have asked God, guarding your mind, these are things that you can do practically. The Bible says when you need to chase away worries, anxiety. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he said, and the peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's not the end. He says, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What are the things that are true? When you are trusting for healing, he was wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, you have been healed. You are healed. So if you are healed, then you are healed. And now today, I am healed. That is as simple as that. When I align myself, you are, I was, now I am. You are healed, I was healed, now I am. Identification with you are healed. Praise the Lord. So you have to guard your heart. And I mean, if you don't want to be defeated in life, you have to affirm the thought of God that covers the area of need. I mean, people will say, for example, if you are trusting for a spouse, have you seen your auntie Susan and so, or brother Susan and so, they didn't get married. Now you are this age, now you are that age, guard your heart. Once you have God's specific promises, you ask God what you want, then the next thing to do is guard your mind. For your prayer to be effective, you have to guard your mind. I do that these days. Nigeria is going through seasons. I mean, you read the news, it's negative. You hang around people, it's negative. But like I said on Sunday, there's still a paradox for me. So this is the paradox. Many Nigerians are relocating, moving out. Many Nigerians are also coming back home. And then the paradox also for me is that foreigners who are supposed to stay away, they are also coming. What is the difference in this thing is what people can see. I'm not sure that those who are returning, they want to return without seeing opportunities. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. It may seem that it's a challenge, which I agree. It is a challenge for us. But hey, this country, we will run according to prophecy. He said, sons of strangers will build our walls for us. They will become our servants. It will be against prophecy if we are the one running away, leaving them to foreigners to come and invade the land. So, guard your heart. I believe this is the best country in the whole world. There is no mineral resources, for example, that any natural resources, mineral resources that is found anywhere in the world that is not found under the soil of Nigeria. I believe in my heart that God is raising new set of leaders for us. Leadership is that come, people of vision, because it is agreed that everything rises and falls on leadership. But even before we talked about political leadership, you and I, we are leaders in the spheres of life that God has planted us. And lastly, today, when you have asked anything that you are specific and standing on God's promises, that you have asked God what you actually want, and you are guarding your mind, the last thing for you to do is that you must be positive in your thinking. You must. Nigeria will rise again. This nation will prosper and flourish again. I have a portion in this nation. No one will take my place. I am prosperous. I am a prosperous Nigeria. I am prosperous in my mind. I am prosperous in my spirit. I have an assignment, and I will fulfill God's assignment and purposes for my life. So allow your thought and desire to constantly affirm what you have asked for. That's what I mean by being positive in your thinking. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart. One of our patriarch of faith once said something, which I believe. He said, no one can be a lizard in Nigeria, for example, for those who are relocating, and suddenly become a crocodile when you get to America. Everything is in our mind. Wealth is in your mind. Peace of mind is in your mind. Prosperity is in your mind. Abundance is in your mind. And God is the one who uses his word to paint this picture. I mean, he did it for Israel. He said, I'm leading you to a land flowing with milk and honey. So, be positive in your thinking. Be positive. Allow your thought and desire to constantly affirm what you ask for. You are trusting for a spouse, be positive. You are trusting for prosperity in your life, be positive. You are trusting for promotion in your career, be positive. You are trusting for a new wave of glory in your walk with God, be positive. Don't say, oh, God can't use me. God will use people like, and then people like, but people like us, God doesn't use us. Don't talk down on yourself. Be positive. What you are, who God says you are a victor. You are a wealthy person. You are a prosperous person in that career path. Be positive. Don't say, we pray for promotion, but that my guy is too wicked, so I can't get promotion. No, be positive. Be positive with your confession. You need to act on the word of God. Allow your thought. After you have prayed, don't permit negative mental picture of failure to remain in your mind. When and if doubt persists, rebuke it. Rebuke it. A lot of people, we accommodate too much. In Nigeria, we use the word, we manage things. No, don't manage things. Be positive in your thinking. Take thoughts captives by the word of God. Rebuke the thought of disappointment, the thought of failure. If you run a business, rebuke it every morning. Oh, there is no business. Every business is shutting down. Maybe very soon my own will shut down. No, rebuke that thought. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God will make a way for you where there is no way. I believe in my heart that if you do that, you will get new job even in this season of no jobs. You will get business opportunity even in this season of no business. Why? Those who put their trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion. They shall be like a city that cannot be moved. In Psalm 46, he said, God is in the midst of that city. He said, God will help her. Hele. I believe the help of God is being made available to us. I believe there is a supply of the Spirit for every one of us. The Bible says, resist the devil. James 4:7. You can't resist the devil. In 1 Peter 5:8, you can cast him. Casting all your cares upon him because God cares for you. You can also resist the devil, submitting yourself to God. In Mark 11:24 that we read earlier on, it said, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that God has answered you. The spirit of the man is the candor of the Lord. Proverbs 22:20-27. If God is going to do anything in your life, you have to see it imprinted on your spirit man first. And that's what prayer does. Prayer imprints heavenly dews upon our heart. And we begin to walk in the reality. We begin to see ourselves. A new picture comes. A new picture. We are victorious. We are the victorious one. The victorious one live on the inside of us. We have divinity. We have the nature of God. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, lives on the inside of us. There is nothing called impossibility around our lives. If you can just be positive in your thinking, you carry God. That's what you have. So you are a solution provider. You carry him all over the place. Leverage on his help in your life. I want to say in closing tonight, don't ever forget, God is interested in all that concerns you, whether as an individual, whether as a family, whether in your career, in your business, whether in a nation. God is interested. That's why his word says in Psalm 38:8, he said, the Lord will perfect all that concerns me. Why don't we get answers to our prayers? Most of the time is because when we pray, we don't follow some of these steps. I will continue with the steps next week. Number one, you have to be specific. And don't be given to that thought that after all, God is sovereign, so he knows what I want. Mm-mm. Get into his word. get into his word. Stand on God's promises. Secondly, you must ask God what you want. You know, I didn't get into that, but people say, oh, silent prayer. No, you must verbalize it. The promises of God, which are yes and amen. Don't say, I'm praying in my mind. Mm-mm. You have to pray it. You have to pray it, because words are seed. Words are spiritual seed. You have to pray. Make that declaration to the prince. Is that to the intent that the principalities and power may understand the many-sided wisdom of God, which he has given to you and I, the church, at this hour. Then you must guard your mind. Guard your mind. The devil wants to throw in doubt. He wants to throw in low self-esteem, shame. And then be positive in your thinking. Be positive. If you can just put these four steps into place and the other ones that we will have next week, Wednesday, you begin to see. And I will encourage, have a prayer journal. That's part of being specific, that on so-so-so date, you ask God for this thing. And then in the think of an eye, maybe 2 days later, 2 months later, 2 years later, the answer is, then you are able to take it. And that's what our test tonight said. This is the confidence. So when you are able to take it, the next time you have a need and you have scripture that covers your case, you approach him with confidence because he has done. That was what David did. He said, the same God who has saved me from lion, from bear, is able to help me with this Goliath. I pray that the blessings of God will rest upon you, will rest upon your household of faith. I pray that your prayers will be answered, because they are answered. All things are yours in Christ Jesus. Can we just lift up? Let's pray for people. I sense in my heart. Can we lift up the song? I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent forth my word and heal all of your diseases. I am the Lord your healer. I sense there are people trusting for healing and they are watching us right now. The provision has been made for your health and healing. You can't believe. Let's just sing that song 2 times and then we pray with them. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and I heal your disease. I am the Lord your healer.
I am the
Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer.
I sent my word
and I heal your disease.
I am the Lord
your healer. Just go ahead and personalize it for the last time. You are the Lord. You are the Lord
that he let me,
that he let me.
Oh,
you are the Lord,
my
healer.
God, you sent your word.
You sent your word.
You heal
and you heal
my disease. You are the Lord.
You are the Lord,
my
healer. Palpitation of the heart. As I mentioned it just now, you can feel a warm heat. It's like a heat. You are beginning to sweat. That's a healing anointing over you. You are made whole in the name of the Lord Jesus. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Palpitation of the heart. Healing power of God is working wonders on your heart right now. Someone is down with fever at the moment. You are made whole in the name of the Lord Jesus. Someone has been confused for days now. Because you have the mind of Christ, your mind is clear right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Depression, go in the name of the Lord Jesus.
confusion of mind goes in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. You are the Lord that heals us. You are the Lord our healer. You sent your word. You sent Jesus, the word of life. And you heal us. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you for setting people free tonight. Thank you for health. Thank you for rejoicing. Thank you for restoration. And as an act of faith, I mean, just even if we didn't mention that case or not, just by an exercise of faith, do something that you are not able to do, because the healing power of God has no distance in the spirit. We can send it over the airwave. If you can just respond in faith, it works. It works. It works. No one needs to touch you physically. If you are touched physically, that's okay. But hey, let your heart be open. It's the Lord who heals. He sent his word. And his word delivers. His word restores. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for this service. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And thank you for this person, Lord, who doesn't have a relationship, personal relationship with you. And their heart just yearns tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for accepting them. If you're that person, just ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to become your Savior, to become your King, and to become your Lord. And just entrust your life into his hand, and he will take care of you. Father, we thank you for everyone who's responding to the message of the gospel tonight. Thank you for doing in their lives what no man can do. Holy Spirit, we hand them over to you, that you will teach, lead, and guide them into all the truth of who Jesus is. Father, thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,